Living well before God, Hebrews 13, 15 through 21. Let's take our place outside with Jesus, no longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out sacrificial praises from our lips to God in Jesus' name. Make sure you don't take things for granted and go slack in working for the common good, sharing what you have with others. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship, a different kind of sacrifice that takes place in kitchen and workplace and on the streets. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They're alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? Pray for us. We have no doubts about what we're doing or why, but it's hard going and we need your prayers. All we care about is living well before God. Pray that we may be together soon. All we care about is living well before God. I don't know one of us that would say you would like a poor quality of life. Give me a poor quality of life. I think all of us want to have a high quality of life for as long as that we're on the planet. And the good news is God wants us to have the best quality of life that we could have. Any of us that get a message that God is down on life, that God is a party pooper, that God wants to take away from life rather than give life, that's not right. That is not what the New Testament teaches. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. And not only life, but I've come to give you extraordinary life, an abundant, overflowing life. So the question is, from this paragraph, well, how do we live well before God? How can we increase the quality of our life? And there's some specifics here that we want to look at and we want to put into our lives because we want to be a community of life, right? Yeah, I hope so. So how do we live well before God? Well, don't take certain things for granted. This paragraph starts with some negatives. We're going to turn them into positives. Don't neglect certain things. Don't forget to do these things. Don't lose your concern about these things. So are you curious about what those things are? You know, what is it that we're not to take for granted? What is it that we're not to neglect? What is it we're not supposed to forget about? Not lose our concern about. Well, if we're going to live well before God, we need to be a community that's caring about our common good. Caring about the right sacrifices and caring about discipled life, but that's really not a word, discipled life, but that's really behind disciplined life. So just that you know. So may we explore those together? Are you curious about those? Let's live well before God, first of all, by caring about the common good. There's two things there. We need to be a community that does good, and we need to be a community that experiences koinonia. Starting with the do good. I know that most of us probably at some point have heard somebody say, well, those Christians, they're just do-gooders. And there's some things behind that. Sometimes we define doing good on our own terms, and then we try to put that doing good upon other people. I mean, those are some things that we, within Christianity, within the Bible Belt, you know, Christians are those do-gooders that don't smoke, those do-gooders that don't drink, those do-gooders that don't dance. I mean, those are things that are still with us. And my friends, if we are thinking that's what this doing good is, then we're missing it. And we deserve people saying, oh, those Christians are just do-gooders. Because what goes with that is those Christians are do-gooders and they think they're better than us. And we don't want to be like that. Because we're not better than anybody else. We're just people that have experienced the grace and the mercy of God, and we don't want to ever forget that. And out of that, we're responding to a God that's done good for us by doing good to each other and by doing good to those all around us. And the doing of good is what, however God decides that. Whatever God says is good, we need to do. And we don't need to just talk about it. I mean, sometimes we have a long list of the things that we say we're going to do, and we don't do them. I mean, we're really, you know, just pick one good thing out that God says to do and do it. Now, one good thing God says is, I want you to be a community that experiences koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship. And it's, here's the surprise. I mean, this is not like, I would not have picked this. I'll tell you more as we go. Koinonia means active sharing or imparting. So the idea is there's an exchange between people. In this context and how this word is being used, here's some examples. A teacher is teaching a pupil, and so there's an exchange of knowledge between the teacher and the pupil. The pupil responds to the teacher. That's the kind of response. Or it could be, the other example was, throughout Acts, and then when you get into 2 Corinthians, there's this conversation about a collection. There's a famine going on in Jerusalem. So that's kind of the mother church. Our brothers and sisters in the faith are suffering. They're suffering through some difficult times. So we want to make a collection of the Gentile mission churches, and we want to exchange, we want to give that to them. And that exchange of care and gifting, that produces koinonia. And then the most kind of specific way is when Paul says, you know, I've come into your lives sent by God. That means he was an apostle. I've sent and I want to impart to you spiritual truth. And your reciprocation is that you begin to follow that, you begin to live that impartation, and also you begin to take care of my physical needs as an apostle. There was a band of women that followed Jesus. They took care of all of Jesus's physical needs. There was finances involved in that. So this idea of koinonia, it's like what I'm doing today, I'm doing my best to impart to you spiritual truth. And for us to enjoy koinonia, you need to receive what God is giving to you through me. May not be everything, but I do believe that God's imparting truth through me to you. You need to respond to God. You're not responding to me. You're responding to God. And one of those responses is that you do give gifts. When we pass our basket, part of that is producing a koinonia among us. Part of that is producing this fellowship. That's what this word is talking about. Now, this isn't the only place that there's this exchange. I thought about our community groups. All of our community group leaders are pastoral. And so when they gather our community groups, they're imparting some spiritual truth. The community group reciprocates by responding to that, and you can also respond with gifts. I want to suggest to you, if you're in a community group and you haven't yet given a card or a book or a gift card for a meal out to your community group, do that. Because that is just a small way of saying, I recognize that God is at work here. He's imparting truth through you as our community group leaders to us as a community group. We want to reciprocate by receiving what you're teaching us, by living it out, and we want to give you a gift, something material that just says, we get it. That produces koinonia. It's this exchange, impartation of truth with the exchange of something that says thank you. For those of you that are in Young Life, Ron is a really hard guy to give anything to. But truthfully, he is imparting spiritual truth to the high school folks in our community. So try to figure out a way creatively to give something back to him. Like Ben, you kind of yarn his yard. That's kind of like a gift given back to him. I don't know if that really fits. I'm not sure it really produces the koinonia that we're talking about here. But do you get the idea? Now, the reason that I'm teaching this is because this is what the Bible is saying. I'm not teaching this because I need to make a living off of what we do. You need to really hear that. But we as a community have got to recognize principles of truth within the Bible. Now, it's tragic that we can overemphasize either side of that. There have been too many spiritual leaders that have emphasized, give me your money, and haven't recognized, I need to give what God has given me regardless. I mean, Paul says that. You know, I've learned to be content, whether there's much or whether there's little. There are times in Paul's ministry that he was bivocational. He was a tent maker. He wasn't going to stop giving an impartation of truth if gifts didn't come. He did that. But then over time, gifts came back to him. There are churches planted all over the Asia Minor that what a great response to what I've been doing. And then people gave material gifts. So that's the koinonia. That's what produces it. So we all take part in that koinonia. And what this passage is saying is if we want to live a life that is pleasing to God, a life really well worth living, we've got to learn how to care about the common good. We all need to participate in doing good as God defines doing good with each other, with our neighbors, with people all around us. And we need to learn how to actively participate in the receiving and the giving. That's what produces koinonia. So caring about the common good is the first thing we want to do to live well before God. The second thing is we want to care about the right sacrifices. As you read the Bible, whether you're in the Old Testament or you're in the New Testament, there are sacrifices that are given. We want to know what are the sacrifices that please God today. So we want to do what's the right sacrifices. Now, these are the ones. One, offering the continual sacrifice of praise. That is just simply what we did this morning. Pick out one of these songs that we sang this morning, just that simple, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. That you don't have to do any more than that. But do that on a regular basis. That's what it means, a sacrifice of praise. That we are a people that are great, we're grateful. We praise Jesus for what he's done. And we can do that in a variety of ways. We can do it with music. We can do it with silence. We can do it with reading the Bible out loud. I go for a walk through Panther Canyon. And a lot of times I take a list in my mind of what I'm praying for. But I never get past thank you. Jesus, thank you. I'm still enamored with God's creation in Panther Canyon. I don't get past the thank you. Thank you. That's a continual sacrifice of praise. Now, with where we are in the Bible, that's being contrasted with an annual sacrifice of an animal. An annual sacrifice of an animal would not please God today. We don't want to do that. And we don't want to encourage anybody else to do that. Because God's looking for a people that are giving a continual sacrifice of praise. There's a new kind of sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, this doing of good, this production of koinonia. And I love how the message says this. It's this new kind of sacrifice that happens in the kitchen, in the workplace, and on the streets. That's being, right where we are, it's being contrasted. We're not talking about the old kind of sacrifice that happened at a temple. So we're not talking about creating a building that has an altar. We don't have an altar. The church doesn't have an altar, friends. The New Testament church does not have an altar. We can't mix. I mean, we've got to get it right. The terminology is important. I'm sorry if you were raised in a church that had an altar, but that's not in the New Testament. And it's giving us the wrong idea. It gives us the idea that we now have a temple like the Old Testament. And so inside this building, we do these sacrifices. No. There's a new kind of sacrifice. It's no longer animals. You can't ever trump the sacrifice of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. God saved the best to the last, the final sacrifice. The final shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins with Jesus Christ. And the place he was sacrificed was outside of the temple, outside of the altar, outside of the city. And so now there's this new sacrifice that you and I do, the doing of deeds that are pleasing to God, and it's in our kitchens, our homes, with our family. It's in the workplace, wherever you work, or the classroom where you go. Or it's out on the streets. That's where the action is. That's the right sacrifice. That's what God's looking for. And then finally, this sacrifice of koinonia. It costs us something to produce this koinonia. For those that are within pastoral ministry, it costs them sleepless nights. We're going to read in a moment. I mean, these leaders that we have, I mean, there are nights that they literally are up all night praying for us. When things go wrong in our lives as a community, our leaders don't sleep because they're praying all night. It costs them something to care about us. Then think about that. Have you ever thought about that? That the people that really love you and care for you, oversee you, it's in a spiritual sense, they really care. When we're doing well, the leaders are kind of rejoicing. When we're doing bad, it's painful to leaders. So there's a sacrifice in this exchange, this production of koinonia. It costs you something to support pastoral leaders. It does. But it's a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. So if we're going to live well before God, we need to care about offering the right sacrifices. And then finally, we want to care about the disciplined or the discipled life that we're repeating, but it just seems that it's within the theme of this paragraph, so I want to repeat it. We want to be a people that are following Jesus. And if you just think simply, Jesus invited people to follow him, and those people invited others to follow them, and then they follow, and so we're really in this long train of people that are following Jesus. So there are leaders and there are followers. All of us, I believe, are potential leaders. You may not be leading others right now, but you have the potential to. I believe that every one of us needs to receive mentorship. And we need to give mentorship. We need to receive some instruction from somebody that's discipling us, and we need to in turn give it away. That's how Christianity works. So that's where this favorable response to whoever is training us. We want to respond. Now, we may not like what they have to say to us. I mean, you may not like what I discovered about koinonia. That may have just ruined a good word for you. But I can tell you that's what it's saying. That's what the word means. So I'm hoping there'll be a favorable response to that. Because I want us as a community to experience that koinonia, something that God would produce. So we want to have a favorable response. That's what it means to care about a disciple life. We want to have a mentor. We want to seek a mentor. So those of you in community group, there's a pastoral ministry going on there. In small groups, there's a pastoral ministry going on there. Young Life, we're not going to call it a pastoral ministry, but there is. It's happening. So respond favorably to those that are leading you. Contribute to the joy of the leaders. Again, that would be don't resist the counsel, the advice that leaders are giving. It's not always easy to deliver what God says. God has something. God really wants to get our attention sometimes, and He does that through people. So some of the things that leaders tell us are hard things. We'll contribute to the joy by responding favorably to that. And then finally, we want to really pray for our leaders. So again, I'm just encouraging you to we have community leaders, we have community group leaders, we have ministry leaders. And so we want to be a community that really cares about those that are leading. We want to follow, we want to pray, we want to be involved with that. So these are the suggestions I would make. If we want to live well before God, number one, I want to encourage all of us to actively share in the exchange between a leader and a follower. Again, I want to emphasize that I'm not the only leader in the room. I have a role to play, and I'm glad to play that role. But I'm one of our community leaders. I'm not the only community leader. So I would like for you to think of a leader that's in your life. Next slide, Blanca. I'd like you to think of one person in your life that is leading you in the spiritual sense. It can be a community group leader. It could be a pastor. It could be a Young Life leader. And what I want you to do this week is I want you to figure out some way that you can receive what that person is giving to you and then exchange a gift back to them. That's what produces koinonia. The gift does not have to be financial. As this one commenter says, again, the gathering of money is not the main thing. What really counts is the fellowship of Christians expressed in the collection. It's what the exchange does between people. It's not about money. So money may not be the thing that you give, but give something tangible. A leader is giving something that's intangible in some ways. So reciprocate with something tangible. So think of a leader and give some sort of tangible gift this week. That produces koinonia. You're going to benefit from that, and so is that leader. We as a community will benefit from that. That will add to the life, the quality of life that we enjoy. Second thing, schedule to do a sacrifice, a daily sacrifice, whatever that would be, in the kitchen or workplace or on the streets. Again, we're not sacrificing chickens or anything in the kitchen. We're not talking about that. Okay, now making a sacrificial meal that could work. I'm going to make this wonderful meal as a sacrifice of praise. I'm so thankful for my family or my friends or whatever, and invite people to come over and consume that burnt offering, whatever, you know. That can happen. In the workplace. You know, what kind of sacrifice can you offer to Jesus in the place that you work? In your neighborhood? In the classroom? There is some sort of sacrifice every one of us can offer to Jesus in those places. Just think about what that will do to our community, our bigger community. As we're all going to go out, and sometime this week, every day, we're going to think, I'm going to offer some sort of praise to Jesus in my home, a place of business, classroom, out on the streets. And they could give 9,000 sacrifices of praise for all those visitors this week. Right? He's not committing. And then finally, let's pick a leader out this week and pray for them. You know? Within our community, there's community leaders, there's community group leaders, there's ministry leaders. You have other leaders in your life. You know, who is the leader you're following? Pray for them this week. They may be going through a difficult time. Pray for them. Pray for Ron this week. You know, he's in Colorado, but it might be harder than it seems. Is life ever hard in Colorado? Pray for the leader. These are ways, practical ways, that you and I can add to the quality of life that God has given to us. We all get to play a part in that. Isn't that great? Isn't that fun? Would you like to stand with me? Jesus, I want to thank you this morning that you want us to live life well. I want to thank you this morning that you have come that we can have life, and joy in overabundance of life. So as we stand before you, we want to take a moment just to offer you a sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving. We want to use our mouth to express gratitude to you for what you've done. So I want to invite anybody that wants just to say a word of thanksgiving to Jesus, just to raise up a sacrifice of praise. Do it loud enough so we can hear you. Just anybody that wants to do that, just say thank you to Jesus, whatever way you want to do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we ask that you would receive this sacrifice of praise that we as a community have just given to you. And Lord, help us to really understand that this is just as tangible as what it was like in the Old Testament for an animal to be sacrificed and burned and the smoke to rise up to you. Lord, let us really know with total confidence that what we have just spoken out of our hearts in praise is like that, that praise has now gone to you. You deserve all praise, and we offer it to you. May we be a community that offers continual sacrifices of praise to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would inspire us this week, that you would remind us this week to give these kinds of sacrifices of praise to you in our homes, in our workplace, in our classrooms, and out on the streets. Lord, let this be a week full of giving offerings of praise to you for who you are and what you've done. And Lord, I pray also that you would place a leader on our mind. Every one of us in this room is following somebody. So Lord, whoever that leader is, I pray that we would pray for that leader this week. And Lord, I pray that there would be a way that we could actively participate in exchange, gift for gift, receiving spiritual truth, reciprocating with response, and some sort of token of gratitude. And I pray that koinonia, Lord, would really grow in our lives as a community, that it would increase because we're actively participating in that exchange. So, Lord, we thank you so much for life. May we live life well in your name, Jesus. Before we go, I just want to ask anyone if you would like additional ministry. If right now you just don't think life is going well for you, that you feel like you're not living well before God, I and others would be glad to pray with you and just encourage you to experience more of that life. So we'll do some ministry time in this corner if you'd like to stay and do that. If you don't, well, let's go out and live well before God. So God bless you and enjoy the day. Amen.